How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, and welcome to episode number 607 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell. With me is Amanda, and we are looking at the ads and features from the March 2016 issue of RT Book Reviews. We have cowboy heads growing out of the dirt and a dude who looks like he's on fire. And we've got an in-house definition of what Castle Bang and Schloss really means. And we also have a really angry reader letter who wants self-pub authors to stop using the same stock images. It's wild in here, y'all. Come join us. Do not miss the visual aids podcasting, extremely visual medium. We have a link to a post with all of the images that we're talking about, and you can listen and follow along with the post. There'll be a little player at the top. Embeds are fun, and I'm having a lot of fun with this project. And if you are enjoying the Romantic Times Rewind, may I politely request that you tell a friend about us? And perhaps if you are feeling thumb friendly, because you know you type with your thumbs, if you are feeling thumb friendly, would you consider leaving us a review? I have asked for reviews in the past, and my gosh, y'all came through. Thank you. Reviews make a massive difference in putting the show in front of listeners who like podcasts like this one. I want to say a special thank you to Ephemerally, who said, I love getting to peek behind the scenes and learn about authors and what goes into writing their books. I also really appreciate the inclusion of books on women's health and other issues, in addition to all the great romance novels. Thank you, Ephemerally. I really hope I'm saying that right. Either way, thank you so very much for the review. And if you have a moment and the inclination, your review would be deeply appreciated. I also want to say hello to Wistful. Wistful is one of the newest members of the podcast Patreon. The Patreon keeps me going. Make sure every episode has a transcript that is hand compiled by Garlic Knitter. Hi, Garlic Knitter. And you're supporting independent media, which right now is really important. So thank you. If you would like to look at the Patreon, it is patreon.com/smartbitches. Your support would mean a tremendous amount. Support for this episode comes from Lumi deodorant. If you are looking to feel confident head to toe, have you considered making the switch to Lumi? Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant powered by mandelic acid and designed by an OBGYN. Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula, and they have over 300,000 five-star reviews from very happy customers who feel very confident indeed. We have a special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with our exclusive code. Use code SARAH30, S-A-R-A-H 30, at LumiDeodorant.com. I've been using Lumi for a while, as have my teenagers, who appreciate how effective it is when they have mandatory gym class. Remember those? Ugh. I've also found people talking about Lumi on Reddit, people who have stressed about body odor, especially from changes brought about by menopause, and people who are struggling with self-consciousness love Lumi because they know it works. The reviews online are really touching and honest about how much Lumi has helped them. How does it work? Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid, as I mentioned, to stop odor before it starts. It's more like a pre-odorant, and it can control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers, and the products in the starter pack last a long time. They're full-size bars, y'all. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code SARAH30 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SARAH30. Thank you to Lumi for supporting this episode, and thank you for supporting our advertisers. All right, are you ready to get started with this episode? Let's do it. On with the ads and features from March 16 of RT Book Reviews. Shall we look at the ads and features of the September 2015 issue?
Yes, and I think it's funny that for everyone listening, we just recorded a bonus episode and we talked about fandoms.
Yes, we just recorded I'll tell you which one it was. We just recorded the February 20th bonus episode where we were talking about fandoms and cover art.
And now our cover star is Cassandra Clare.
Absolutely nothing to talk about there, really. Not at all. Not at all a lore or history. So the cover is, I think, in terms of composition, we talked about this with the Cressley Cole cover, that the book covered up so much of the illustration, like it covered all her hair. This is a much better...
It's the same thing.
But this is a much better use of the composition because the illustration is nearly there in full. And if you look at the cover, the two upside down spikes of the I guess those are spirals from a church. Maybe those are steeples. I don't know. They're both visible. Yeah. So they've put the book in the lower left corner. So most of the cover art is the cover. And I think it's a much better use of both elements. And it's also really gorgeous art. Like she's underwater. She's like losing her sword. Of course, she is using a sword with her hair long and unbound in what looks like chiffon dress. Maybe it's very flowy. Definitely what you want to be sword fighting in. But the cover is Lady Midnight by Cassandra Clare. And Cassandra Clare is one of those people that I find really difficult to talk about because, speaking of fandom, there is a lot of instant rage hate that is directed at Clare. And bringing her up means, for me, often a difficult to manage comment section. And there's actually a couple authors that I do not talk about for the fact that I don't have that much time in my life to weed the comments, because even though the comment is the responsibility of the person leaving the comment, it will all be attributed to me. And I have to be mindful of that, even though it's very obviously to me that I did not say that. That's in the comments. No, it was on Smart Bitches. So Smart Bitches said it. And that is the job that we do. But I have to be aware of that when we talk about things or don't talk about things. And Cassandra Clare is a person who's very hard to talk about because there is a lot of history there because she moved from fanfic to writing. But I don't know all the story. And I said, Amanda, do you know this whole story? Like, there's a whole Wikipedia about this.
And I said, no, I don't. But I know someone who does.
Everybody knows who somebody who does. And I just want to say, I love that. Somebody's going to remember.
Stephanie, my previous roommate of, 9 years, maybe? We were roommates for a very long time. Huge Cassandra Clare fan. Huge fandom person. Mm-hmm. Huge fic person. So I knew exactly who to text. Can you help sum up and debrief us?
If you are not familiar with Cassandra Clare or are fuzzy on why that name has so much weight to it, Stephanie is here to make it clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. She sent me a long-ish text that I think was pretty thorough and pretty neutral-ish.
And to be clear, Stephanie works in publishing, so is very familiar with how the sausage is made here.
Yes. So Stephanie says, back in the early aughts, Cassandra Clare was penning Draco and Ginny fanfic on fanfiction.net. Cassandra Clare was a big name fan at the time, which means a very prominent member of a fandom community. Like, fans of this fandom knew who Cassandra Clare was. While most of that trilogy was her own writing, she lifted passages and phrases from the published books, though out of print, mm-hmm. and from other fan fiction writers without giving credit and passing it off as her own. There was a whole takedown and expose by someone in the fandom about it, all of this doing comparison side by side, and there was a lot of back and forth about Cassandra Clare sending her fans to try and dox those talking about it or trying to ruin her reputation. I don't think it was ever confirmed that she was behind it, but you can check me on that. However, that trilogy was taken off fanfiction.net because it became the basis of what she reworked into the Mortal Instruments series. And then Stephanie also sent me a link for anyone who wants to do a deep dive on fanlore.org. And it's called the Cassandra Clare Plagiarism Debacle. And we'll link it in the comments if you want to read further.
There, just to give a sense of how big a thing this was back in the day, the fanlore.org wiki for Cassandra Clare has like 9 total different full pages about every aspect of this of the whole incident. And I just want to say, we're talking about early aughts. Wow, what a different time. She was one of the first I remember who moved her fanfic into publishing. And now that's extremely commonplace. And I know for a lot of people in fanfic communities, that is considered, to put it mildly, that is considered dishonorable behavior. I don't actually...
Really? I mean, I can't keep up with it anymore. Like, normally...
It was considered dishonorable behavior, I think. Now, I think it's so commonplace, it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's where great writers get discovered, because the barrier to entry is so low.
I feel like it happens so common now, too, because I remember early when things would get acquired from a fanfic to be published, it was a big deal and people would know. But now, when we do Hide Your Wallet, we have some commenters that's like, oh, this was like a Raylo fic. And I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea. That makes sense now, like reading the description or like looking at the cover art or whatever. But I feel like not that it's more commonplace, but I'm definitely not as on top of what is getting published traditionally from fic anymore, because it's not as a big deal, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to the ads and features?
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to talk about page 2 and page 3. So this is a tale of two pages. We start with page 2, which is an ad for Christine Feehan's Dark Promises. And this is a terrible ad from a graphic perspective. It is hard to read. It is cluttered. It is flat. It is monochromatic. The cover is a shirtless, waxed dude with an owl that looks like it has just emerged from his crotch. Like, it's just
flying forward out of his... This is a Christine Feehan cover.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely... Like, he birthed an owl from his belly button prior to this image being captured. But the problem is the cover is off to the side. The background is this sort of gray-green wasteland of trees and a gray sky. And then there's a cover copy over top of that, and it is very hard to read. There's just many things wrong with the layout. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is a really terrible ad. Like, I'm super bummed at, like, oof, this is not a good ad. Wow, that's really a bad ad for page 2. And then I scrolled to page 3.
Surprise. You thought that one was bad.
Page 3. What the shit is happening here? Okay. So first of all this will be in the visual aids and you should take a look. This is the Maitland family saga. And we have Moon over Laramie, which is a close-up of a guy's intense face, giant head, just the head, floating over the mountains next to the moon. So is he the moon or is the moon the moon? You don't know, because they're both floating in the sky. And then under that...
The Christmas Tree Man is my favorite.
You like the Christmas Tree Man?
That one is my absolute favorite.
Tell me about Christmas and Shan, and then I will attempt to describe what is happening in Lost in Wild.
What? Yeah, so...
Speaking of covers.
There's a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
With red and gold ornaments and, you know, yellow little twinkle lights.
Yep.
And I can't tell if that's supposed to be like a stack of presents.
It's very small, but yeah.
Yeah, it looks like presents. And then there's another large man's face with a cowboy hat, and he's got a thin little mustache, and he's looking down at the little presents. And I just love how it looks like he's like emerging or from the tree or fusing with the tree.
He is one with that tree. And he's looking at the presents like, what?
Or, you know, like you hear stories of when people chop down their own tree and they realize that there's like a bird's nest or a fucking squirrel still in the tree.
Yeah.
I just imagine this family chopped down this tree, brought it home, and it was like, oh shit, there's a cowboy in our tree.
In our tree.
We forgot to check for cowboys before we brought the tree into the house.
So then
and
there's,
now he's emerging from it.
So then there's Lost in Wyoming. Okay. So
he does look lost, in fairness.
He is growing out of the dirt.
And lost half his body.
His head and his neck and his collar are... because it's faded, they just faded the... They feathered and faded the edge of the image and just plopped him in some dirt. It looks like he's growing out of the ground.
Like a cabbage patch.
He's like... He's growing. And the cat, the title is Lost in Wyoming. And it's like, what, did they lose his head on the ground and that's why it's there? Like, what is... happening. He's growing out of the dirt. Wow. And that's page three.
That like, is page three.
I could just, you know, hit stop and we could be good because I don't think anything in the rest of this magazine is going to top this, right?
I don't think so.
No, nothing can top the Maitland family
Lost
saga.
Lost in Wyoming.
Thank you, Vivian Sinclair. This completely made my day. So the letter to the editor, I'm sorry to inform you, is very boring. There is a really great picture of Essie Davis because Lady Catherine of Barrow has discovered Miss Fisher's murder mysteries, and they are indeed great. But the letter doesn't tell us how to live forever or talk about saunas. So
the letter to the editor, yeah. Now that we mention it, reminds me of being on a phone call with my mom. Because she's telling me what she's watching these days. She's telling me, like, what new medication she's on. Or what, like, new weird supplement she's taking. Just, like, a random list of facts of things that have changed with her since I last talked to her 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's like, instead of a Christmas letter at the end of the year, it's by phone. Yeah, my mother-in-law is the same.
Or it's like, have you heard of this really popular piece of media that's been around for 10 years now or yeah. whatever? It's like, yeah, mom, I'm... Or she's watching Bones all the way through for like the 10th time.
Not. I don't get any tips on how to live forever. But then on page five, we have a full page collage of the RT holiday party, which was very well attended by people
this.
We know.
I recognize so many people.
Oh, yeah. And you know that RT had to throw a pretty great holiday party if they got all these publishing big muckers in there. And Jude Devereaux attended this party.
She sure did.
I would be beside myself if I ended up at a holiday party with Jude friggin' Devereaux. My God. But there's like a display of, you think that's cheese balls or you think those are falafel? There's a meat tray. They got some catered stuff. Hopefully it tasted good. I'm sure there was a bar. But yeah, they're all of these pictures are people that like we used to work with and that we know. It was very cute.
Also, like, you know, the HarperCollins team.
Yeah.
They're not there anymore.
Nope. Yeah. What a fun little time capsule that is.
I know.
So you wanted to look at page six.
Yeah, because this is the mailbag section where people can write in. They do like the social calls where it's like talking about stuff happening on social media. But the only mailbag that they got is called, it's Review Source 101, and it feels like tech support. And it was sent in via email, and it says, question regarding the RT review source. How can I look at reviews? I was thinking I can go to the webpage and find an area called RT Review Source and scroll through that. Maybe by month, author, or genre. I subscribed to BookBub, and they got me started on Bella Andre. When I learned you would be reviewing self-published books, I knew I wanted to follow. While I don't agree with your reviews 100%, I am close to 90%. Thanks for explaining this to me. And then the magazine writes back about where you can find RT Review Source online and how to access it.
Yeah, you have to search for it because they didn't create a menu item for it. First of all, this person is very good at user interface. Like, they have made it very clear, this is what I want to be able to do. I should be able to do this, and it's not happening. But also, I read this letter and thought, was this a plant? Did they make this up? Did they make up this letter? True. Did somebody who is mad that there isn't good user interface on the website, somebody who wanted the menu item and got shot down, did they write this letter?
Possible. Or maybe the review source wasn't getting the traffic that they wanted, and they realized that people can't access it, so they planted this to hopefully see if more people would know how to find it.
The next article is by Alyssa Petruzzi, who always wrote great articles for RT. This is called DIY YA, A Look at Self-Publishing YA in 2016. So prepare ye for a time capsule. First, it mentions Amanda Hocking. Do you remember everyone losing their goddamn minds over Amanda Hocking? Multi-million dollar deal for what was self-published. It was one of the earlier big self-published deals. But it also mentions Wattpad and people who were in charge of writing and publishing partnerships at Wattpad, including Ashley Gardner, who I knew for a long time. One of the things that Jennifer L. Armentrout says in this article that I think is very, very interesting is that self-publishing in YA is a challenge if you're not doing something like Wattpad, because the barrier for e-retailers of books is allowing teens to access without credit cards, or teens using a credit card of their parents to buy the books they want to read, which their parents might not want to purchase for them. Wattpad is free and fanfic is free. But the other place where kids get a lot of, and teens get a lot of books, is the library. And libraries not acquiring self-published books harms YA readers who are devoted to getting books from the library. So the major problem isn't necessarily platform or access. It's knowing that your audience has a very specific set of shopping options and trying to make sure that you're in one, if not all of them.
Like, I remember Smashwords too, when we'd go to the RT Book Lovers Con, we would get a USB drive in our like swag bags, just filled with Smashwords books.
Sometimes I get a royalty statement from Smashwords and it's like 86 cents.
Well, that's 86 cents more than you had yesterday.
Earlier today. It's true. But yeah, this is very much a time capsule, isn't it?
YA is such a luxury in that a lot of people are getting hardcover releases. Mm-hmm. Like Stephanie, who is an adult and has her own discretionary income, primarily reads YA, and she will almost always buy hardcover. Mm-hmm. Always. And hardcover is not cheap.
There's an interesting quote at the end here from a librarian. When I hear the word gatekeeper, it brings to mind someone keeping something out. I absolutely do not feel that way as a librarian. Yes, I do decide not to purchase certain books, but it's not because I want to keep my students away. It's because they don't fit with our selection policy or aren't age appropriate. I want to expose my students to a wide variety of books and hope they will find something they like. My goal is to connect students with books that they will actually read and enjoy. If being a gatekeeper means opening the gate so my students can find the stories they're looking for, then sign me up. That was a big wad of nonsense is what that was.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, of like gatekeeping is usually used as a way of meaning you keep it closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who gets to come in and who does not.
But if you're a gatekeeper, you can choose to throw the fucking gates wide open if you want.
It's also interesting to look at the idea of self-publishing YA as something that has multiple facets, because we're still moving out of, but still somewhat in, the period of time where self-publishing often implied to people in professional capacities, lack of professional editing, lack of professional production, substandard product.
Which is so strange, because like when I do books on sale stuff, we have so many people who comment, I wanted to like this book, but it really needed an editor. And it's still like a traditionally published book.
Well, they laid everybody off. There's like four and a half editors between all the houses. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Sure, there's no editors left. Sorry. Yeah,
it's all AI. That's the problem. So the next article is also very cute. It is by Mary Mancusi about switching from romance to YA. And I thought this was very, very cute. It's a good profile article. She wrote it herself. But the thing that I like that reminded me of something that you've said before, YA isn't about looking back at being a teen. it's being that teen now. You want it to feel legit. You have to get into their heads that their thought processes are different. The world is immediate. The emotions are raw. And what might seem inconsequential to an adult might feel like the end of the world to a teen. Whereas romances tend to draw on a lot of backstory where something that once happened to the hero or heroine shapes their reactions to current events. In teen fiction, that past is happening now. Those experiences need to be on the page. That is really, really good explanation of the immediacy of YA.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the biggest complaint that I often see of people reading YA. And it was like, oh, these characters are immature or they're rash or
they're teenagers.
They're teenagers.
They're doing their jobs. It's like complaining
that
you're
something you want.
Yeah. Then don't read that. It's like complaining that your toddler is sick. Toddlers being sick is their full-time job. They put in overtime.
They are a walking germ.
But I thought this was a really, really good article for their pros on pros section because it is a really important difference. And a lot of people moved from YA to romance or from romance to YA.
And we're still seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
We're still seeing authors like make that sort of transition or like go back and forth.
Her first adult title never stops making me laugh. I wanted to talk about this guy on page 19, but you also had some comments about page 19. So page 19 is an ad for smittenword.com, which was the Bantam Dell Ballantyne love swept flirt blog. This is still when publishers all had their own blogs. There's a cover for Risking It All by Christy Barth. And it is that guy. You know this guy. Both he's a white guy. He's got a lot of muscles. His pectorals are very big and he is ripping his shirt off. His arms are up and he's sort of peeking at you and half of his face is covered by the shirt. And when you see this cover, you are going to know, oh, I've seen that guy. I know that guy.
This cover and this sort of style of cover where it's like the overhead reach and everything's like pulled tight. The muscles and skin are pulled tight.
Yeah.
If you move the title out of the way, because the title's covering his nips.
Yep.
If you remove that, the shape of his body and like where the abs and nipples are remind me of when you look at a stingray from the bottom up. You know what I mean?
Yes. Very true.
Just flat, and you've got like the little like slits for eyes and then like the weird little like gill abby areas. It reminds me of a stingray.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. What was your comment on this page of ads? This is for 12 different books.
Yeah. So my eye was immediately drawn to the cover of Resist by Missy Johnson because a man is groping a woman's boob.
Oh yeah, he's getting a second base.
Yeah, right on that cover. And that's where my eyes can't stop being drawn to that. I was what?
In terms of composition, it is one of a few black and white pictures, but it is the brightest white on the page.
Oh, that is a good point.
So that's going to draw your eye.
And that was like digital only, mm-hmm. right? Love Swept.
So we have, oy vey, where are all the Jewish girls in romance? And it's fine. It's absolutely true. This was about 2 years after I self-published my Hanukkah romance. It's still newsworthy when there's Muslim and Jewish characters. It's still like the rep is a primary element of telling people about this book. But I will say this article features Dahlia Adler, who we are fans of.
She's been at this for a while.
That's right. Well, when she lost her writing job at Barnes & Noble and didn't know that she lost it, she had to keep asking if I'm still employed. It was really, really tawdry. But we asked her to come and do queer romance roundups once a month because she knows so much about books that are coming out. So much. She's like you. She's one of those people that's like an encyclopedia of books and just knows so many titles and when they came out and what they're related to.
And she has a very popular Patreon. My roommate, Sarah, I think, or not Sarah, my roommate, Stephanie, subscribed or was a patron. She might still be one where Dahlia would give you like personalized book recommendations.
Oh, how clever.
And I don't know if you would get the book that she's recommending to you based on the tier, or if you would just like get an email with your recommendation and then you can like choose to pick it up or something like that.
absolutely monetize that skill. That is an art. That is an art.
Yeah. If you like queer romances and you're looking for like a personalized book recommendation service, check out our Patreon.
But it's interesting to see March 2016 and March 2024, we are still looking at a largely homogenous, nondescript Christian character base in romance. And the inclusion of Jewish, Muslim, Hindu characters is still newsworthy.
So I wanted to talk about this ad on page 25 for Sourcebook's Casablanca. And I didn't get it until right this second.
Well, take me through it.
So it says spring forecast. And then the Mercury is rising, which is in title case.
Yes.
So the Mercury is rising. And then at,
which is lowercase.
Right. And then I'm like, is this a Mercury is in retrograde reference? Is this like...
You went straight for astrology there.
I know, because like spring forecast, that's where my brain went. And then I'm like, I also went like Mercury in your bloodstream? Like, are these people being poisoned? And then I realized, oh no, they're talking about a thermometer. They're Mercury in a thermometer, as in it's getting hot. But also, you mentioned spring, which is weird, because I would think it would be summer if it's getting hotter. I don't know. This tagline just confused the shit out of me, and I hate it. So, and I also don't like, why is it in title case?
Why is capitalized and at is not?
Yes. Or why is any of it cap? Why are we capitalizing Mercury? If we're talking about the element, wouldn't it be in lowercase? If we're talking about the planet, it'd be in...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It would be capitalized.
I love how you went straight for astrology here and trying to puzzle out what the hell they were talking about.
Because Mercury was capitalized. That's why I was like, what's what?
Yep. And we have her fierce warrior from the SWAT team of Alpha Wolves. I think this is a SWAT team Alpha Wolf, maybe. Or maybe it's a spinoff. But yeah, the Mercury is rising. That guy on the cover of Elizabeth Michael's infamous Air.
He's everywhere.
He was everywhere on every cover for a while, but he looks so bored. Like, my guy, your
Especially
leg is on
like,
fire.
Especially because something's on fire behind
you. Your leg is on fire. Don't be bored. Get up.
Well, maybe that's why the Mercury is rising.
Yeah.
His house is on fire.
Because he's got a little heat problem. So on page 27, there is an ad for Shadow Mountain Publishing, and it is a Regency twist on My Fair Lady. And the cover has two problems. One, there's this really thin banner at the top and in a little insignia. I don't think that's the right word, but there's a little like medallion in the middle and it says a proper romance. Which, okay. I mean, I guess you're saying it's clean, but proper. But then you look at the people on the cover. It's a photograph and that woman knows what an iPhone is. This woman has iPhone face. This is clearly not a, I mean, obviously not. It's a photograph. This was always my mental disconnect with photographs on the cover of historicals because I'm like, color photography did not exist. And so I am disconnected and confused now. But that's just my brain. And my brain is weird. That woman looks like she knows what an iPhone is. That's a very modern expression.
Don't like what, I don't like how the dress fits on her.
It's very
looks both
baggy.
Too small and too big.
It's very poorly tailored, yeah. And it looks kind of like an apron. But yeah, she's got this sort of grin, like side eye, She's not a proper romance. She's spilling some extremely hot tea right now. That's what that expression is.
Yeah.
So then we get to page 34, and this is a full page ad for Kristen Ashley. And this is the Unfinished Hero series. And none of these covers look like romances.
These were so popular.
Wild to me. So I'm going to say something that sounds unkind, and I do not mean it to be, but I fully understand that this sounds like I'm damning with faint praise. For me, Kristen Ashley is the perfect read when my brain is exhausted and I want to read something, because Kristen Ashley will tell you every single detail. You do not have to do any like constructive lifting. She's going to tell you what the room looks like and what color the pillows are and what color the bedstand is and what color the bedspread is and whether or not it's quilted. She's going to give you all the detail. It is going to be a very relaxing experience because she's going to tell you everything. And that experience is, for me, has been very unique to her writing. It's like, I'm exhausted. I need a vacation read. My brain is fried. Perfect. These covers don't look like romances. They have big block letters. It looks like a Clancy novel. It's like Clancy font.
The thing that bugs me is that the titles are the hero names.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes. So the titles are the hero names.
This is not the series I read, so I didn't know that. That's funny. Yeah,
the titles are the hero names. I had to double check to make sure I was right.
Wait, the hero's name is Raid? Like the bug spray?
His name is Raiden, R-A-I-D-E-N.
Oh, really?
But Knight, that's the fucking Knight Rider, okay? That's the Knight Rider car to me. And then, like, I'm sorry, Sebring, like a Chrysler Sebring? Like, I can't get on board with these hero names. And, like, that's the one reason why I never picked these up, because I can't deal with the names. Like, someone's first name being Knight? No, thank you. His name is Knight Sebring, by the way. So Sebring is the surname. Linus made a noise. He didn't like that either. I read some of them and didn't really. I read the Chaos series, which has a motorcycle club. Not for me, but I did think what she was doing way before her time was her Fantasyland series that she did. I thought those were so cool. I think I only read the first two, and there's five.
That's the one I was thinking of with the, she's going to tell you what the bed looks like and what the pillows looks like and what the colors hanging on the wall.
And it looks like they've had cover redesigns,
too. Of course they have.
I mean, they're not bad. They're fine. They remind me a lot of the Cressley Cole redesigns, where it's mostly black except for like a face feature in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought that series, which came out in 2011, was like it's a fantasy romance in 2011.
Would you say that it is romantasy?
Oh, God. I would.
Yeah.
I would say that, because she gets transported to like a fantasy world. So, yeah.
This was such an interesting cover strategy. I don't even know if this is a publisher at this point or if these were self-pub, but these don't look like romances. They look like Tom Clancy novels.
I think they were self-pubbed, but I don't remember. I remember Kristen Ashley did a lot of self-pub.
She was massive in self-pub, but also she was cutting edge in so many ways. She was one of the earliest book authors in self-pub that I remember being described as Pringles. Like, you read one and there's nothing else like it. So you're just going to read the next one and the next one and the next one. I remember seeing early Twitter, somebody saying, oh my God, I just discovered Kristen Ashley. And somebody replied and was like, all right, see you in 2 months. Bye.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a German word for it. Castle Bangenschloss.
Yes. That's what Castle Bangenschloss means.
Where you discover an author that you really like, and then you peek at their backlist, and it's like dozens of books. And you're like, I know what I'm doing for the next couple months. I don't have to think about what I'm going to read. I get to get excited about all these different series.
Yep.
That's a Castle Bangenschloss for you.
Absolutely Castle Bangenschloss.
Yep.
Now, on page 61, there is an ad. And if you don't look at any other visual aid, I hope you will look at this one, because it is a journey. So this is for the City Nights series, titillating tourism at your fingertips, your passport to erotic romance. From, Tiergar? Tirgear. Tirgear.
Or maybe it's a soft G. Tirgear.
Could be Tirgear. I'm pretty sure that's a Celtic language, or maybe it's Gaelic. I'm not sure, but
it's Irish. By the way.
I was in the right language family. So in the background is a whole bunch of landmarks like Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Statue of Liberty, Eiffel Tower, Big Ben, and a Buddha, you know, like, oh, here we're going to travel around the world. But up top is a guy in his little shorts with no shirt, of course, embracing this woman who's wrapped in a sheet, but behind them has been photoshopped in poorly two gigantic passports for the size of these people. Like, these passports, she could wear them over her boobs. That's a big passport.
They're like a dinner menu.
They're huge. They're massive. And they're really badly photoshopped in. Like, you can sort of see where the fade line was drawn. And all I can think of is, do you know how long it takes to get a passport right now? They're very expensive and a pain in the ass. You should not have sex on top of your photoshopped passports. It seems like a bad idea. Please do not tell me Tirgear is still in business.
It is. It is. Because it says at the bottom, what's coming up in 2024?
I'm actually kind of excited that they still exist. It's a small, independently owned publishing company of commercial as adult genre fiction. Hell yeah, still in business. Oh my God. And at the bottom, they have links to Blogspot.
They sure do.
I love this. Oh my, hell yeah, still in business.
They have a YouTube channel. Is there anything on it?
It's going to tell me how to say the name. I hate mispronouncing things. I feel like
they were publishing stuff a year ago. On YouTube.
Well, I would like to ask them questions about their passport photoshopping tendencies. And I want to say again, do not step on top of your passports. That seems bad.
Did you see their merch? They have a House of Tirgearian, Game of Tomes.
Wait, what?
Books are coming. Yeah, it's a Game of Thrones merch, but for their publishing company.
Oh, I think I want one. I want one of these t-shirts. So it's this Triskelion style logo with
only $15 plus
Celtic,
postage.
Celtic style illustrations of dogs in a circle. And it says House of, maybe it is Tirgear. That's amazing. I'm so excited they're still in business. I'm like all excited for them now. Then we get to page 71 and it's time to take a look at the panels on RT. Book Lovers Convention. This is just a preview of some of the panels. The actual ad for the conference is later. Look at these panels. Okay. We have Fantasy Straddling the Genre Divide with Grace Draven, Dorinda Jones, and C.L. Wilson. We have the Kick-Ass Fantasy Heroine with Thea Harrison, Dorinda Jones, Tamora Pierce, and Grace Draven. Anatomy of Paranormal Romance, Love, Myth, and Magic with Ilona Andrews, Nalini Singh, Dorinda Jones, and Jessica Clare. And
I think
then
I went to that one.
This frickin' panel, you know they got the big room for this. Paranormal Anti-Heroes We Love to Hate, moderated by Ilona Andrews with Nalini Singh, Cresley Cole, Grace Draven, and Dorinda Jones. That panel must have been awesome. Amazing.
These are so cool.
Such good
panels. Yeah, we went to that one.
Went to that RT Book Lovers?
Yeah.
Trigger warning, this is the one that was at the Rio.
Yeah, I think this is also the one I was trying to remember. What hotel was the one that we were at in Reno?
It was at the Peppermill.
I couldn't remember the hotel.
And remember, I had gotten a large room. I had gotten a suite because I was recording the podcast episodes with authors in my room because it is impossible to find a quiet place in a conference hotel. I had the most ungipachki bathroom. It was coral marble. It was huge. It could have been its own bedroom. It was just absurd. And it was holy shit cheap.
Yeah, Reno was the one that we all took edibles and did a podcast recording. But the Rio was where I met a lot of our Aussie readers, Aussie romance scholars,
yes,
Aussie romance bloggers. And I made friends with them. And Claire, it was her birthday, I think 21st birthday, if I remember correctly. And so I went with the Aussies to go see the Chippendales show that was happening in the Rio Hotel.
Amazing. So that sounds
like
a
the highlight.
Really good time.
it was a very good time of like, I like kind of miss like making con friends where yeah. like you make friends with people at the conference and maybe you keep in touch, but maybe you don't. And just having that little time capsule of like memory of like the stuff that you did with strangers, and it was fun and it was great.
That's like the best RT experience, right? Where yeah, else are you going to get together with a bunch of Australians and go to the Chippendales show? Page 91 is in the section for RT's convention where they're advertising the convention. It's like, you can still register. Here's what we're going. There's a party from 10:15 to 11:45. Sponsored.
Could never do that again. Like, I'm old.
I'm long in bed. That's not happening. A night with the bad boy. Bad boys know how to drive us crazy. What's better than the sexual push and pull of a bad boy? Nothing. Join these beloved authors who write your favorite bad boys for a fun night of celebrating these delicious men. What is the agenda? I need to know.
I remember.
What's
I went to
happen.
That one.
No. Tell me everything.
And they put handcuffs on you when you arrive. They just put one handcuff on you. They didn't handcuff your wrists together. But yeah, you would walk in and they, like, hot shirtless men would slap a pair of handcuffs on one of your wrists. I remember that one. And they're like cheap ones, so you can easily take it off if it's like too tight or whatever. But yeah, I remember that one.
That's very carceral. Heather Graham's Anything Goes Paranormal Party.
Good for Heather Graham, keeping these parties going.
Heather Graham's family is the Von Trapp family if they were from Vegas. They are, it's like a whole family of show people, theater people. They're just theater people all the way down, and it's glorious. And Heather Graham throws a great fucking party. Then we get what Amanda calls the basic cable section.
It's like public access.
The public access section. It's RT Review Source, a book review service for every author.
And I still don't understand what this is.
Self-published and paid reviews, basically, is my understanding. But I could be wrong about that. It's not clear any more than 5-star gold is clear. It's just, okay, sure.
And this is what that woman was trying to find online in the mailbag. She was trying to find this online.
Yeah, she was trying to find these reviews online, but they did not seem to be present in a way that was easy to locate. And then if you go to section S10, supplement 10, there is a whole article about, this is amazing to me, online video platforms and how to get the most out of them. Now, I just want to remind everybody, this is March 2016. So we're talking about Blab, Periscope, Google Hangouts, Skype, and YouTube. But the writer's comment on YouTube is, for occasion-based marketing only, a launch or something significant like a life event announcement, make it interesting and personal. Keep it short, 120 seconds max. Also, upload directly to Facebook. Algorithms work better that way.
Now we have TikTok, everybody.
Now we've got TikTok and also 120 seconds max on YouTube. No, YouTube is for long-form content now.
I also want to just back up a second and go to the cover of the review source.
Oh.
And just look at these. Like, this is like a cover snark buffet.
What do we got here?
If you keep going, yeah. And we have Bound to a Vampire. Clean is the name of a book. Blinding Fate, where it's like through a window. And I don't know if they're trying to do like a blinds sort of pun. And look at the horse. Look at the size of that horse.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with it? Why are those people melting into the leaves?
Yeah, these covers are something.
Bound to a Vampire. Does that guy have two heads?
Oh.
I think that's a two-headed person. I think that guy has two heads.
It's giving me Nicholas Lords of Seder.
Which one of them is the Seeker?
I mean, two heads. Am I right?
Yeah. You're not wrong. Wow. That is a buffet of cover snark.
Right?
Goodness. Page supplement 13 is an article about going from blogger to personal assistant, how my love of books led to my lifelong friendships and a dream job.
We had this article, not this same article, but this same topic many times.
Yeah. Now, page 18 is a very interesting article, given the conversations that we've been having about cover art and the change of cover art. And this person is a reader, and they wrote a very angry article about the fact that the same stock photos are used on different book covers, and they are very mad. And I wrote, what the hell is this whining weirdness? Like, they're just so mad that the same stock image has been used on different books. Like, this is really pissing them off. Quote, until I did my research, I had always assumed that cover art was original to the book and author. I'm honestly rather disappointed that some of the beautiful and vibrant covers I treasure on my bookshelves are not as unique as I first thought. While I will always continue to enhance and broaden my reading scope and simply enjoy the pleasures of a good book, I sincerely hope publishers and indie authors will be more diligent and take the reader into consideration when reusing cover image. Are you fucking kidding me? Take the reader into consideration in terms of, does the cover actually market the book effectively and accurately and safely? But like, don't reuse stock images? What?
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, like for self and indie pub, authors are paying for that shit out of their own pocket. They don't have an art team that can design a wholly unique cover.
Does this person really think that every book cover is unique to them?
And why is it special? Like, is it special because it grabbed your eye and made you read the book? Is it special because you realize that, like, the cover accurately reflects the book?
I'm guessing here, but I think that the cover image, the image of the cover and the image of the book has come to represent the emotional experience that they had reading that book, which was a big emotional experience for them. And so seeing that image on the book that didn't give them that emotional experience is jarring. I get it. It's weird to be like, oh, wait, I know that guy's back. Oh, wait, we just talked about that guy ripping his shirt off. How many covers have we seen with that guy? That guy's been taking his shirt off on like 60 books. But like, you should think of the reader because it's not special. Are you for real? One thing, I'm editing an interview with two cover designers who used to do the photography and the art of a lot of old school covers. And one of the things that they told me that blew my goddamn mind, spoiler for another episode that you might have already heard by this point, publishers used to send models, like Wilhelmina models, models, to the art directors and the artists for these romance covers. That's why you would see these same types of guys or same model. Like Ewa de Cruz from soap operas was on like 30 covers for a while there. Wilhelmina was billing publishers millions of dollars a month for the number of models that they were using for all of these covers. Those were all unique creations. And eventually what happened is that certain models would only work with these two artists. Like, I will not do romance covers with anyone other than you because it is not a safe environment because you're in these super intimate, graspy poses because they created a safe studio space because it was two women and they were very specific about what they wanted. But they would do one cover after another, after another, after another, like 10 in a day. Nobody has that budget anymore for every cover to be unique. Are you for real? Are you kidding me? Wow, I can't believe this was published. This is absurd.
Yeah, I'm very curious how this was pitched.
This is a strange thing to be like demanding. How dare you not think of my feelings when choosing your stock art?
I think it's kind of funny to see the same one. I don't.
I think it's like, oh, but you know what? That is a good image. You have good taste. So, what did you think of this issue of Romantic Times?
I think in terms of like ads and features, not the weirdest of the bunch.
No, not the weirdest by a long shot. No.
I still don't understand review source. And I think some of the features in the review source we've seen already in the magazine, like the fan to PA. We've seen that in the actual magazine before.
Oh, yeah. We've seen that in the supplement, too. They've done that type of article before.
But yeah, review source still confounds me as a concept. But I do love seeing of a period of time where I was an adult and could remember these things, mm-hmm. and not like a teen and I, you know, my brain was mush. So I really liked seeing more recognizable stuff for me, mm-hmm. because I feel like I also have like more to talk about.
It's also interesting to see an article about self-pubbing YA and the role of gatekeeping in self-pub that keeps books out of young readers' hands. And then they have a whole separate section for the self-pub reviews. And that is a very interesting contrast. Also, a lot of the reviews in the review source were paid for, which I understand them wanting to differentiate from the magazine itself, but it's still keeping the self-pub stuff separate in a way that they've been arguing about in the magazine proper, which is wild. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode, and we have left Castle Bangin Schloss, Castle Bangin Castle, for the last time. I will give you a sneak preview. Next month, we are looking at April 2005, a long time ago. It doesn't sound like a long time ago if you say 2005. I think that's like, you know, 2 years ago, but no, it's 19 years ago, as you do. So we're heading back to April 2005. Do not miss those episodes if you're curious and you want to put them on your calendar. That will be April 5th and April 19th. As a reminder, do not miss the visual aids for this issue. You can find a link in your show notes. You can find them at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast, or you can just go to rtrewind.com. You get all of the RT Rewind content. I would love to know how you're enjoying these episodes. I'm having a really great time, but I would love to hear from you and tell me, you know, what you think. You can email me at sarah@smartbitchestrashybooks.com. You can talk to me in the comments of these posts, because we are, after all, a blog. As always, I end with a terrible joke, and this comes from Malara as part of our Valentine's Day exchange. We did a card exchange for Valentine's Day in the Patreon, in the Discord, and it was delightful, and I got jokes. So thank you, Malara. How do you keep a jewelry store safe on Valentine's Day? Give up. How do you keep a jewelry store safe on Valentine's Day? You lock it. Thank you, Malara. Thank you to everyone who has joined the Patreon, who has told a friend, who has left a review. Being a podcast and being a blog in this era is a weird time, and I am really, really grateful for all of your support. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.